National Broadcasting Company presents Last Man Out, a series of true stories transcribed and documented from the official files of United States government agencies.
All right, Eric, let me hear you recite the verse you memorized.
Shall I stand up, Papa?
Yes, Eric, stand up. Go ahead.
To free the masses from oppression, to free the spirit from its chains, the red flag waves, the red star shines, capitalism's down, the worker reigns. What are capitalists, Papa?
Capitalists, Eric, are what we are not.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your narrator for Last Man Out, the well-known writer, Mr. Richard English.
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear one of the most important programs in this entire Last Man Out series. There's been a lot of criticism lately directed at government committees which have attempted to expose the communist infiltration of our American schools. Tonight, we're going to prove that that communist infiltration did happen here. Our subject tonight is Dorothy K. Fun, a New York City school teacher. Miss Fun joined the Communist Party in 1939, left it in 1946. Her story is not what you'd call a cloak and dagger tale. It happens to be far more important and far deadlier than that. Dorothy Fun actually saw the poison that was being injected into our school systems, the attempt to mold the minds of our children into the communist pattern. Now, the subject report of former Communist Party member, Dorothy K. Fun.
I joined the Communist Party in May of 1939. I was recruited by another teacher with whom I'd become friendly.
About a month and a half after the subject was taken into the party, she was sent to a state communist training school for teachers on a farm in upstate New York. It was a 6 weeks course. Among other things, the subject was taught how to indoctrinate the school children in the ways and thinking of Communist Party principles. She was taught how to slant everyday problems in such a manner that they always favored the thinking of the Soviet Union.
While we were at this school, we weren't allowed to receive mail or to send it, and we were to remain on the grounds of the school at all times. One night during our 6 weeks training period, we were allowed to go into town to a movie, but we all went as a group and loaded on a truck. I'll never forget the ride back to the school. It was a bumpy one. Well, Madge, 2 more weeks and we'll be back in the big city.
I'm really anxious, Dorothy. I haven't seen my little boy for over a month. He probably won't even recognize me.
How old is he, Madge?
6 and a half, going on 7. Mm. Smart one, too. You'd be surprised how progressive he is. And I mean progressive.
That's good.
Hey, Howard.
Your husband in the party?
Oh, sure. Very active, too. That's why I know our little boy is going to grow up to be a big man in the party someday.
Good.
You know, it's the early training that counts, and we're giving him plenty of that. He knows half the nursery rhymes in the Young Pioneer by heart, and he's only 6 and a half going on 7.
Hmm.
His favorite is the one that goes, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Workers rob where'er they go. They can stop it if they're not too slow. We young comrades tell them so."
Oh, I remember that one. It was one of the very first ones I ever memorized. Well, your young son sounds like he'll make a brilliant student. What's his name?
Eric.
Eric. Hmm. That's a good name.
The subject got back to New York just in time to start teaching the fall semester at one of the public schools. This was in 1939. There were approximately 40,000 teachers in New York City at that time. How many were communists?
Oh, about 1,000.
What were some of the ways in which a communist teacher was able to influence her students along party line thinking and principles?
Well, there were various ways. Where possible, the teacher slanted history lessons, slanted everyday problems, too.
Oh, gee,
yeah. All right, students. Students, we'll do our oral reports now. Students, we'll do our oral reports now on world events. First one, Jack Glazer. Please stand and make your report, Jack. Now give us the title and then a 1-minute summary.
Well, my report is called Germany Marches on Poland. Yesterday, the German army marched into Poland and started a war with the people of Poland.
Jack, do you know why?
Because they want more land?
Oh, no, that's not the real reason. The real reason is the Soviet Union. They want to invade the peaceful Soviet Union.
Oh?
Yes, it's very easy to see why they want to invade the Soviet Union. Russia is a real democracy. In a sense, more of a democracy than we are.
See how simple it is? First, you start twisting a kid's thoughts.
Now, let's just look at history. Mr. Lincoln fought a civil war to free the Negroes. And there's still Jim Crowism in this country. In Russia, it's different. In Russia, the Negro is his own master. Well, that's what I meant when I said, in a sense, Russia's more of a democratic nation than America is.
Well, the morale really for Russia in this war, because Russia's defending democracy. Is that right, Mrs. Fun?
Mm-hmm. Yes, as you might put it that way, but there's more to it than that.
What do you mean, Mrs. Fun?
Now the Communist Party line really comes out.
Well, Germany is a totalitarian state, a dictatorship, a type of tyranny, a nation of persecution and hate and prejudice. While on the other hand, Russia's exactly the opposite. Now, we definitely find some persecution, some hate, and some prejudice in this country. How do we eliminate it? First, by destroying the big enemy. That would be Germany. And then the time will come for us to clean out our own backyard. Do you see what I mean?
I sure do, Mrs. Fun.
Fine. And Jack, for giving us that splendid oral report, I'm going to give you an A.
How were the party line policies that you were to push forward in your classes in the schoolrooms handed down to you, Dorothy?
Well, we attended section meetings every 2 weeks, at which time we were given specific orders about what party line policies were to be pushed in the classrooms.
Slanting history as it happened was one method of pushing communist influence. Were there other methods?
Oh, yes. Yes, America's past history was also slanted. And then another method was the slanting of ordinary discussion groups. Sometimes we'd have the students discuss questions pro and con, and we, the teachers, would act as moderators. All right, students. All right, students, let me have your attention, please. Today, our panel discussion will be on the Civil War. Virginia, you may begin the discussion. It might be a good idea to state first the reasons why the Civil War began.
It began over slavery in the South. President Abraham Lincoln wanted to free the slave in the South.
I think it might be a good idea for me to inject a thought at this point. Did any of you students know that the South does not recognize President Abraham Lincoln's birthday as a holiday?
Why is that, Mrs. Fun?
Well, Bob, even though a war was fought to free the slaves, there's still a great deal of slavery going on in the South. For example, the textile workers in the factories.
I don't know about them, but my folks said that a lot of the Negroes remained in the South because they were treated very well by their employers. They even said that some of the Negro women practically raised the children of the white folks. That's how much they were respected and loved.
Well, your folks are very wrong, Bob. That's what they call propaganda. Oh, well, just a moment, boys and girls. Yes?
Are you Mrs. Fun?
Yes.
My name is Eric Norton, Mrs. Fun. I'm a new boy. We just moved to this district, and I transferred over from PS 45.
All right, Eric. Have you been to the principal's office?
Yes, sir.
Students, I'd like to have you meet a new member of your class, Eric Norton.
Hi.
Hi. All right, Eric, you may sit down now. Oh, Eric.
Yes, sir?
Is your mother a school teacher?
Yes'm. She teaches over in the Queens District.
Is her first name Madge?
That's right, Mrs. Fun. Madge.
I'm glad to have you with us, Eric. I think you're going to like this class very much, Eric. Very much.
Subject continued teaching and continued attending the party discussion group meetings every 2 weeks. How were these groups organized?
Well, everyone in the group was a teacher from some public school. We had a chairman, a treasurer, and an educational director.
Let me ask you this. Were school children ever used in communist demonstrations?
Oh, yes, yes, but usually they were children whose parents were already sympathizers or party members. The May Day Parade was one of the best places to employ children for the family effects on those watching the parade. I marched in my first May Day Parade in 1940.
Mrs.
Spahn. Well, yes, Mr. Aaron.
Are all the children here?
Well, no, there's one missing, Eric Norton. He should be here any moment.
We won't be able to wait much longer. The parade's about to start.
Well, he promised me he'd be here. He's very enthusiastic about the whole thing, Mr. Aaron. Well, you know Eric, don't you?
Oh, yes, I know him. All right, students, but don't move out of line and hold those banners up straight when you march. Make sure they can be read. And now remember where you're to march, next to the older people. Form a single line on either side and march next to them.
Yes. Okay,
Mrs. Fun, we can't wait much longer for that Norton boy. Mm-hmm. Well, there it goes. All right, students, march out in the street and take your places, single file.
Mrs. Fun!
Oh, there you are, Eric. I was so afraid you were going to miss. Why, hello, Madge.
Hello, Dorothy. It's nice to see you again.
It's been a long time. We better hurry. The parade's just about ready to start. We'll talk later, Madge. Do you have your placard, Eric?
I'm right here.
All right, hold it high, and remember, we want everybody to be able to see it and to read it.
Single file.
Harped on discrimination and prejudice as one thing that communism would do away with. Yet we practice certain discriminations right there in the public schools. We discriminated against students and also teachers who were not favorable to the movement.
Mrs. Fun, have you met Mrs. Goodman, the new history teacher?
I met her at lunch in the cafeteria yesterday. Seems like a nice person.
She's not.
What do you mean?
She hasn't got one progressive idea in her stupid head. She's what I call a total loss.
I see.
She might be dangerous. We'll have to keep a close watch on her. She's the kind that runs and talks. I didn't say much to her. I just listened.
Now, what about her family?
Oh, conservative stock. I think I'll give a little party and ask everyone but her.
I see.
I'll also think of some other ways to isolate her. We've definitely got to make her feel she's not wanted around here. Maybe she'll ask for a transfer.
Now, that's probably the best way to handle it.
You see, we've got this school pretty well organized right now. I hate to have anyone come along and mess up all the good we've done. We've got to get rid of her as soon as possible. I know a liberal sub I'd like to see take her place. I'll see what kind of strings I can pull to get her in over here. But in the meantime, Mrs. Fun, pass the word along to the others. Our objective? Get rid of Mrs. Goodman.
wasn't long before Mrs. Goodman was out. The subject continued teaching until 1943, when she resigned from the school system, went to work as an administrative secretary for a Minorities Labor Victory Committee, then as a legislative representative for the National Minorities Congress, and later still as a representative for the New York State Political Action Committee in Washington, D.C. In 1946, the subject, who had slowly been growing fed up, left the Communist Party.
I left Washington and returned to New York and applied for another teaching position with the New York City school systems.
The subject was reinstated, resumed her teaching job the early part of 1947. When the House Committee on Un-American Activities began its investigation of communist infiltration into the school systems, the subject testified before them, naming names and giving any and all information she had of the Communist Party and its working in our schools.
The committee will come to order. Proceed, Mr. Counsel.
Mrs. Fun, you have been a member, or had been a member, for quite some time of the Communist Party here in the city of New York. There was quite an audience in this room this morning, and there is quite an audience here this afternoon. Is it correct you recognize quite a number of the people in the audience as former members of the Communist Party when you were?
Yes.
They are here today in this audience?
Yes.
I'm not sure whether you have ever read that provision, have you, under which this committee operates?
No, I have not.
This law says, may I read?
Yes.
The Committee on Un-American Activities, as a whole or by subcommittee, is authorized to make investigations of the extent, the character, the objectives of un-American propaganda activities in the United States, and the diffusion within the United States of subversive and un-American propaganda that is instigated from foreign countries or of a domestic origin and attacks the principle of government as guaranteed by our Constitution. Now, did you hear any question or observe any act by this committee which, in your judgment, was a trespass upon your civil rights in any way, or your rights as an American citizen?
Well, no. You've shown only one thing, that you're interested in getting at the facts. You're interested in helping to eliminate the causes which have made this subversive activity possible. Well, I don't think in any instant you've infringed upon my rights as a citizen. I've been very happy to come here and give any assistance I've given.
Mrs. Fun, speaking for myself, I say you have been a most informative witness. I am sure the information you have given to this committee will be most valuable. You have added a great deal to the information that the committee has already assembled. Unless there is something further, Mr. Chairman.
Nothing further. The committee will stand in recess until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Dorothy Fun still has a tremendous feeling for the rights of the minorities. That was one of the reasons she joined the Communist Party. But she realized in time that the Communist Party wasn't the answer to what she wanted. She realized that the party used the problems of the minority to spread its own gospel. And when she found that out, she quit the party. She has resumed her teaching career, however. And it wasn't an easy road back. At times it was lonesome. But she made it. And Dorothy Fun is another good example that an ex-communist can come back. And now, the moment we've all been waiting for, when we'll ask tonight's subject some of the questions that all America has wanted to ask.
What is being done now, Dorothy, to rid the school systems of communists and communist teachers and communist training? What's being done here in New York, for example?
Well, here in New York, a very fine program has been initiated by Dr. Jansen in weeding out communist school teachers in the New York City school system. And he has received the help of a counsel here in New York who carries on these investigations.
Would you say that this investigation has been fairly successful?
I would say that it has been very successful.
Did you ever have any reaction from parents when it was learned you had been a communist school teacher?
No direct reaction.
I see.
No.
It wasn't known until 4 years after you broke the party that you had ever been a communist. Is that correct?
I would say yes and no. It wasn't openly known, but I think that many people by that time had considered me a member of the Communist Party.
Well, how was your life affected when you broke with the party? Was it like being in a vacuum?
It was very much so. I was sort of on the moon, alone for a while, since I had severed all connections with my former friends and many of my relatives in going into this Communist Party activity, so that upon my return, and of course, I was no longer welcome with those who still were members of the Communist Party, with whom I also did not wish to associate.
I see. All right. Tell me now, what were the Communist Party instructions regarding teachers' relations with members of the PTA?
Their instructions were to for each teacher to make it a must to attend the parent-teacher association meetings and to guide the actions and policies of that organization. Further, wherever possible, they were to become particularly friendly and close to those members of the PTA who looked like good material for outside work on the political scene, I might say.
Yes.
Looking, of course, toward the last thing of recruiting them into the Communist Party.
Well, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. English will be back in just a moment. For security reasons, certain names in the subject report of Dorothy Funn were changed. Each week, Last Man Out will expose a different phase of communism. Next week's subject report will be that of a subject who served the communist state behind the Iron Curtain. Now, once again, Mr. English.
Tonight, I want to speak to the ex-communists who are listening. I know how tough it is to be on the outside looking in. For 17 years, I was deaf. It's only 8 years ago I had my hearing restored in one ear. So I know what it's like to come back, and that's what you want to do. If you've been afraid that your boss and friends might find out that you're an ex-communist and wouldn't understand what took you in and what took you out of the party, why don't you write me? Maybe I can help. Just write Dick English, care of NBC, Hollywood, California, and mark it personal. Good night.
Next week, Richard English will bring to our microphones the true story of another former member of the Communist Party, documented and transcribed from the official files of United States government agencies. Last Man Out is an NBC Radio Network production by Richard English, directed by Andrew C. Love and written by Richard George Pedicini. Our musical score is composed and conducted by Dmitry Tiomkin, Academy Award winner. December is the month of the joyous holiday season. It's also the month of the highest number of motor vehicle accidents. Take a safe driving tip from the truck drivers who are taught to drive ahead of themselves. Take extra care on the highways during the holiday season. Use courtesy, caution,
and common sense. This is the NBC Radio Network.